Good morning, LinkedIn friends. Welcome to another episode of Value First AI Daily. It is Thursday, July 24th, 2025. How are we doing, Nico?
We are doing good, Chris. Doing good. Just got past some minor computer errors. But we're doing great now. Yeah, a lot of change in thought this week too. So it's not a lot of like not just a lot of like tech release and oh, this is coming out, no, that's coming out. But a lot of discussion around thought processes and even more specifically, which I'm starting to hear even from people inside different organizations, philosophy. And like philosophical application towards what it is that we're doing, right? Yeah, just
Change
it's interesting.
is afoot, apparently.
At the
People
very
are
least,
understanding.
yeah. I mean,
Welcome in, folks.
it's just like, I mean, we've been talking about, obviously we've been talking about it, but you know, we talk about like change and the way things are going to change. And we talk about tools all the time, and we talk about the way in which, you know, we're going to use different things, what that does to the economy, what that does to jobs, all that kind of stuff. You know, one of the things I don't think we touch on enough though is how we mentally cope with what's coming. How do we because it's not just, I read them all the time. They're really super difficult sometimes. The only thing I can liken it to is there's a really awesome bit. This is very much what it's like for me when like I'm reading a non-user's comment and or like a never gonna user's comment. To me it's like there's a clip from Hasan Minhaj's podcast where he's with Neil deGrasse Tyson, and deGrasse has to ask him like 10 science questions, and he's not allowed to say anything at Hassan's answers, which are obviously ridiculous, right? Like he's just like, yeah, tides are caused by like, I don't know, like the moon, and then it's got something to do with like gravity, I'm sure, but who knows? It's like deGrasse just has to sit there. So I can't help myself though. I sometimes have to reply. There was a gentleman, apparently a very high level IT person, and said that him and the rest of his IT kin laugh at the technology, and they laugh at the fact that people are using it because years from now, they will have forgotten all the basics and they'll, you know, blah, blah, blah. My immediate response was like, oh my gosh, dude, you are whoo. Oh my God, you're so right. I think we should go back to cuneiform. I can't believe we forgot cuneiform. Have we completely abandoned the abacus? My God, like what are we doing to ourselves? Where did Latin go? What are we doing with this English shit? Like, yeah, it's called evolution, right? Like at the end of the day, it's called evolution. And yes, you should at some point let go of building blocks, the basics, right? You let go of Legos, you move on to bricks. Let go of bricks, you move on to cinder blocks, you let go of cinder blocks, you move on to I-beams, right? It just on and on and on. Like that's the way it's supposed to go, because otherwise it's stagnant. You just stay where you're at, right? And the whole thing of like, oh, but you know, if you keep going down this road, it's gonna break, and then all of a sudden you're gonna be looking for programmers again. You're gonna be begging developers and programmers to come back. Yep. I gotta tell you, when my car breaks down, the first thing I look for is a stagecoach. If I could, I wish there were payphones everywhere. I can't believe I can't find a payphone anywhere. It's ridiculous nowadays. Right? Like,
Meanwhile, one of the most important IT infrastructures in business can't fix a patch right now. No, I want you to share that comment. You quoted Sam Altman in a post, and there was a good exchange after that. I think that sets up a good way to make this conversation a little more practical than we usually go. Usually I'll take it to scarcity versus abundance, but I've got some ideas for how maybe we can create some steps on the way there.
So I was watching Theo Von's, I do not watch it often at all. The only reason it popped up was because Sam was on the show. It was Theo Von's podcast.
And like, this is serendipity at its finest. Like, I would have had no clue who this person was had I not just been like doom scrolling Netflix the other day through and like catching all the comedy like thumbnail clips and just going through all the stand up. And then his was on there and I was like, oh, and it like labeled him as like podcaster and comedian. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I saw his clip and I'm like, I know exactly what his podcast is about now, probably. And then you share that clip. I was like, okay. And then of course I saw a couple of the first comments and I was like, yep. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, like, yeah, Theo, he has the, more modern, I guess, Larry the Cable Guy. And so it is obviously interesting, to put that personality in the same room with a person who is on the edge of discovering super intelligence, right? Like that's awesome. And it really was. I had, you know, some preconceived stuff about it, but, and you know, the questions that Theo put out there were, you know, that's what I liked about it though.
Yeah.
I thought that was the perfect perfect episode for anyone who like wants to hear the like actual answer from the people building the stuff to a lot of the basic questions that people have. Right. And they were, I mean, really great answers in some cases. And I think there were like a couple questions where he was just like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Right. So like, it's not, again, like they don't have it all figured out in the same way that, you know, people are like, oh, well then why do they keep making it? Ford keeps making new engines, even though they haven't figured out exactly what it is. You know what I mean? Like it's science, man. It just, anyway. So Sam's talking to him and Theo asks him at one point, like, is there anything that surprises you about like what it is that you're doing? Right. Which Sam's been surprised a couple times, specifically by like what the GPT-4 series has been able to do. But he said this thing that was interesting and he was like, somebody emailed me a question and I didn't take the time to answer it. And I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to figure it out at that time. So I gave it to GPT-5 and it gave me the exact right answer. And I really kind of sat back in my chair, had a, oh man, here it is moment. And that's from Sam. Right. Yeah. So I'm not, you know, I know that 5 is like 2, maybe 3 weeks away or whatever. Like August is almost here. Height of the summer. Makes sense. I'm really eager. To see what that is like, what that looks like, right? We're going again, however, and it's weird, right? Because people say like, oh, it's so smart, but it can't blah, blah, blah. I know genius level people that can't yo-yo.
Right.
So, I mean, are they not geniuses anymore because they can't yo-yo? You know what I mean? Like we have to be willing. It's kind of like the magnets thing. There's got to be a basis at which we're willing to accept like, no, they are smart. It's just like they're beyond that thing and they just don't do that thing enough. Yeah. To me, it's kind of crazy. I don't know what that looks like, that the exact right answer. Right. So it was good. So he just shipped it and it's like, man, so it even said it in the right way, like broke it down in the right way, like all of that.
No, I've been feeling that all morning. This has been one of those content explosion mornings. And it started with the comments on your post, right? Of the assumption is that what happens when Sam just gives all the decision making over to GPT-5. Highly unlikely. Like,
I gotta stop you there. Theo asked him that, like, in the interview, right? He's like, what happens, you know, you keep going. He's like, do you see yourself, like, automating yourself out of being a CEO? And he was like, you know, it's like, I wouldn't mind it. This is, so, like, what Chris was getting at is, like, there's been a couple people who talk about, and not just a couple people who talk about it. MIT did a study. Harvard did a study. There is a trend, right? And it's, I look at it this way, so it's going to be a little freaky. Hold on to your butts. There is this trend of, you know, cognitive decline with the use of Gen AI. Okay. That is definitely something understandable in the same way as, like, cognitive decline would happen if you shoved your brain full of too much of anything at too early a stage. I hate to say it, but if, like, you're young enough and you shove your brain full of Instagram, you're going to have a little cognitive decline. If you shove it full of TikTok, if you shoved it full of a specific YouTube channel on turtles, right? Like, it doesn't matter necessarily what the content is, right? Now,
decline. Unless yeah, you, like, want to be, like, the foremost expert on turtles.
Yes, of course. Right.
And I think that's where what came to mind. Because it's like, assuming that he's gonna lose critical thinking skills and decision making skills, like, it's just gonna change his focus. Like,
right.
And that's where what my feedback was like, since a gym, it's like going to the gym, like, maybe he needs that extra rep. Like, maybe that's his 20th decision of the day.
Right.
And it would never have happened if he didn't have AI right there. Right. And when we can multiply, like, if we have the bandwidth for 8 decisions, like, at a strategic level, and now AI can enable 10, 16, 80, 800.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's for me, it widens the gap. It probably widens the intelligence gap for humans, but. And I wasn't anticipating the podcast being a great example of that. Like, the floor is not going to change, though.
Right.
Right. Like, because, like, it's pretty well established what the floor is. The ceiling's obviously going up. And this relates to Mo Gadot talking about IQ, just augmentation. Right. Mm. And where my mind went is, at the end of 23, I read a book called The Gap and the Gain. And it is all about how humans focus on the gap and never think about what's been gained. Mm-hmm. And never look back of how far we got. And, you know, there's so many studies to support, like, the reason you put moonshots out there is it takes you in a certain direction. And even if you only make it 60, 80% of the way, you're 60 or 80% farther, like, than you were, right? And there's so much value in seeing that. The next book from those guys, which I also had to get better at attribution, was like 10x is better than 2x or something like that, right?
Yep.
And it introduced me to the concept of, like, it's okay to just do something because you want to do it. And that's how all of the geniuses and all of the people who make change, like, whether it's artists or scientists or whoever, that's how they get there. They don't feel like they necessarily have to justify based on need, mm-hmm. right? And those two things, like, come together greatly. So when, yeah, if Sam stops going to the gym, he's going to lose all the muscle. Like,
right.
But right. What are the chances he stops going to the gym? Probably pretty low, right? And that's, like, the magical thing is that I'm pretty passionate about value first stuff. There's so much in my mind that I would love to just share and get out there. Almost none of it, like, value first would not exist if it wasn't for AI. It would just still be a thought in my head. Maybe I don't even remember it anymore, because it's from last year. All this stuff comes to pass that would have never come to pass. And it, for me, it's the difference between humans could do something versus humans would do something, right? Mm-hmm. Like, of course, I'm capable of making 5, 10, 20 decisions in a day. But would I most days?
Right.
Like, the higher the numbers, I just run out of time. I run out of attention. Like, it's not because I don't want to or because I can't.
Yeah.
Right? And when you can't, but because we're limited on our own bandwidth, you know, people get left behind. Progress doesn't get made. Value doesn't get created.
Right.
Why wouldn't we want to fill that gap?
But, you know, at the same time, to me, this just looks like it's like the hype curve. We've just never, like, I don't know. We've been through technological change, right? So again, with the whole like evolution or whatever, it's like, anybody still using like TI-86s, right? Like, anybody still using those like solar powered, like 12 panel calculator? No. But like, we've made it through these various changes. We've gotten to where we're at now, right? And to your point, like, my only response realistically was, we'll think of something else, right? Like, okay, so I don't have to do this anymore. All right, I'll do this now, right? And at the same time, there is something to be said about, like, those people, you know, again, I think it's a hype cycle in that we don't rely, like, who pulls out your phone or a calculator, even if you're bad at math, right? Who jumps straight to their phone or calculator to do the math? It's not as high a percentage as you would probably think. I'm not saying that it doesn't happen, and I'm not saying that the percentage couldn't be high. I'm just saying it's probably not as high as what you would think. And that's because we do, to Chris's point, we have that whole, at the end of the day, we have this sort of thing in the back of our minds that's like, we have to do the thing. We have to be the one that does the thing, right? So, like, even if you're terrible at math, you want to give it your best effort before you have to rely on this thing, right? Absolutely. And I think that's yeah, look, if it's division, that's a totally different ballgame, right? But, you know, I think it's going to be the same way, right? That, like, yeah, okay, we're in love with it and we're infatuated with it for now, right? But I really don't think that the majority of us are going to sit there and just be like, yeah, screw thinking, machine go, right? Like, right. You, that would mean, so again, this is why the philosophical part of things is coming back, because for people to be able to say that X is true, which is that, okay, people are going to drive themselves into cognitive decline. The balance to that, the why, is people want to drive themselves into cognitive decline. You have to have the want to actually do it, right? Like, alcohol's out there. I don't go get drunk every day, right? You know what I mean? Like, it's just one of those things where, like, you have to also make the cognitive decision, right, that, like, I'm going to rely on this thing instead of using my own brain, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know what to tell you. It's like, yeah, if GPT weren't here, right, were we saying, like, that's what's funny is, like, up until this, was there a story about, like, kids using calculators to cheat in math too much or something? You know what I mean? Probably would have been if they would have investigated, right? If anybody bothered looking into it, we'd probably see those numbers sort of, like, increasing over time a bit. Maybe. I don't know. I haven't heard about it since, like, the TI-86 came out and people were like, oh, that calculator's too smart.
Well, no, there's definitely, like, rules against using calculators.
Oh,
like,
yeah. That, yeah, on tests and stuff. Yeah.
Right. And that's the thing. Like, what the line of thinking I'm on this morning is, like, because I've been thinking about ADHD and like, how I've never been the one, as soon as a better path was available, like the calculator, like, why in the world would I, why would you make me do it in a less efficient way? Like, it just doesn't add up, right?
Right.
And so I started talking with Claude about how, like, you know, this concept of like brain energy and this mitochondrial dysfunction possibly being like the underlying foundation of all of neurodiversity stuff that's going on. Mm-hmm. And like, if biologically we're built to always take the path of least resistance that has the best ratio of like value outcomes, like positive value, right? Yep. Literally, we won't even have to make a conscious decision, like to use AI as a tool in this way. Our brains are built to save calories from critical thinking, if not necessary.
Right.
That's what, like, everything behind StoryBrand and the way you build your website. If you make people think, they automatically like don't want to be on the page anymore. And that is their brain. Like, we're biologically built to do that. So when somebody puts in that in front of us and we know the outcome is something positive, we're biologically built to do that. And then when we get the dopamine hit, it's like confirmed, continue, yeah, please repeat, yeah, right? Like, some of it will be conscious decision, but most of it will not be. That's why I'm over here saying, like, next year you won't be worrying about navigation in software. No. Like, nobody's going to care whether it was made by a human or a robot or whatever. Nope. So this whole concept of like human first, AI first, it's what we do to try, right, and like figure things out and make sure we're still important. But it's completely the wrong framing to understand, you know, what's happening right now. And the fun thing to think about, and probably scary for most, is that this kind of change, like, as opposed to the other ones we talked about, like, evolutionarily, it's going to be like ripping the Band-Aid off, like, in a way that we've never experienced before. And people might not even have time to like freak out in some cases.
They really won't.
It's just the quality of life is just automatically going to like up level.
And it's like the transition being rough is like, it's, that's so, that's putting it so light. I don't, you know, when I say that, right, I don't mean, a lot of people talk about the doom and gloom aspect of it. That whole thing, like, whether it's going to be abundance, whether it's going to be doom and gloom, our species has been nothing but the best at, bringing, you know, what we think in our minds is going to be the worst thing, like bringing it into fruition, right? So, you know, our future in that case, just, it sits on a knife's edge, right? It's really up to government, either for the better or for the worse. That's just the way that's going to break down. What I mean when I say it's going to be rough is like, people, and this isn't a slight, this is really how you have to think about it. I think we were talking about this the other day. I was talking to somebody about this recently, that in the same way in which it's insanely difficult to get somebody in like Northeast Asia or like Kenya to be able to care deeply about environmental protection enough such that they stop burning garbage for copper wiring and stuff so that they can sell it to be able to feed their families. I don't know what we do with certain areas of our country. I don't know what happens with other certain areas of the world, right? I do definitely see this like great divide happening super rapidly. And I think the closer that you are to the, I guess, technological breakout, I don't know that it's like the better. I just know that I'm starting. I'm not saying this is happening anytime soon, guys. Just take it easy. Take it easy. But I am getting dread, like Judge Dread, like feelings in terms of like mega cities, let's say. You know, there is one of the reasons why I moved to Ohio. There's the talk of Ohio becoming the Silicon Valley of the Midwest. There's good reason to move here, because if there's going to be a future city here, I would love to be at ground zero. I missed out on Google Fiber. Don't want to have that happen again.
Right.
So yeah, I do. I see that separation happening, and I do think it's going to be very, very tough for people who are, you know, out in rural Nebraska, even here in rural Ohio. You know, it's going to be really tough, because there's going to be, it's going to be like, I guess if you had to measure it, right? Our generation is perfect, because our generation was born just before computers and we're here, right? So we have been through all of that, right?
Analog plus digital. Yes.
Right. Compress all of that into the next 12 months. Compress that much level of change into the next 12 months. That's what I mean when I say it's going to be rough. So like learning email will, it's not even like learning stuff is going to be difficult. It's just the, again, the change, like Chris is talking about, it'll be embedded in your life in such a way. I swear it will be embedded in your life in such a way that you will look back and say, wow, I can't believe we actually even managed to do shit without this. Just like GPS, right? Yeah. I'm sure if you talk to your kids today about trying to go somewhere not using GPS, they will look at you weird and be like, wow, what? And you tell them like, yeah, we used to use a paper map and we would just stop on the side of the road and take a pencil and mark where we were and shit. They probably just looked at you like you were Columbus. Right.
Yeah. So, oh, man. Yeah. No, we're going to, this will be a recurring theme, I'm sure. For me, the first step is, I think we're starting to feel it. Like people are understanding a greater change is happening. And then it becomes, you know, I still have close people. And I'd love to get into your duty paradigm at some point, because like, and I started talking about this with George last year when he, like, the happiness pillar of the superhuman framework. People are going to need help figuring out, what do you want to do now? Like, if you don't have a job, and that's going to 100% rely on them understanding what makes them happy. And most people don't really, a lot of people don't know the answer to that question.
No, I'm there. Most people, I'm there.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
So, time's up already. Man, these are some great conversations. I'm so happy and grateful that we get to do this every day.
Seriously.
So until tomorrow morning, man.
Yeah.
Good day. Thanks, everybody.
See you guys.